All right, let's jump in this word before we head on out in the service a minute. Song of Songs, Song of Solomon.
I read it before and never really sit down and looked at it and studied it. But to me, the new thing that I'm seeing here, this is how we're supposed to love God. This is like the agape love that we ought to have towards God.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt we see those things that we should have this affectionate, tender, all-consuming love toward the Lord. In the particular song, if you look in verse number 4, toward the end of it, it says, "Rightly do they love you." That ought to be something that we think in the perspective of when we are coming across people and we see this deep affection that they have for Jesus. We ought to be able to say that same thing. Rightly do they love you.
Yeah.
Rightly do they have this fondness for you. You know, Solomon, when he wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, or some translated as it is in the first verse, the Song of Songs.
Right.
And the idea that this is the chief song, the song of all songs, the song of, you know, how many songs does the Bible tell us that Solomon wrote? 1,005 songs.
Jesus Christ.
1,005. So this is saying that of all the songs, of the 1,005 songs that he wrote, this is the chief of the songs. This is the supreme of the songs. In reference to this dialogue between several parties, it's almost like a, if you want to call it, a musical to an extent.
Right.
This is the scenery here that Solomon pieces and puts together, the thought process of this maiden, this virgin, and this courtship with her, and how she was consumed and enraptured with him, and how he gave her his attention and affection. And Solomon, being this young king, the language of it gives us the indication, it's obvious that Solomon wrote this in his younger days.
Yeah.
He gives a hint, I think it's over in chapter 6 maybe, look in chapter 6. He tells us something about, chapter 6 and verse 8, when he says, "There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number." So it's obvious that Solomon is the king, and he's already been building up from a political standpoint many of these wives. He started making allegiances with, like, Pharaoh. That was one of the first that he takes. He made an allegiance with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter. You can find this in 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 11. They talk about Solomon building up. You know, how many wives did he have? I think it was, 300 wives, 700 concubines, or vice versa. We can go find that in Ecclesiastes to get it down exactly. Ecclesiastes is more of a book that he writes in the end of his life. Song of Solomon is in the early, younger kingship. And Proverbs spans that early and middle phase as well. It covers a lot. But let's just look at a couple historical things. Go look in 1 Kings 4. 1 Kings 4. This is where we get some insight about Solomon and who he was and what God gave him, because most of what Solomon writes is from the perspective of a man, how he views things under heaven, meaning in the natural affections, the natural rawness of things. Ecclesiastes says that again and again, under the sun, meaning this plane we live on, how men relate to one another in this natural world. And then we take in the view that Solomon was an uncommon man. Not only was he a man, but he had an uncommon wisdom that was given to him. So he could see things that the average person couldn't see. He could feel things that the average person couldn't feel. That's one of the reasons why he said he didn't keep anything from himself. He tested everything to see what it would turn out to be. And in the end, in all his wisdom, he says, this is it. All that, I'm going to tell you up front, as the wisest man that's ever lived, all that other stuff is empty and vanity.
Yeah.
What is a man's all in all? To fear God and to do what he says to do. That's the chief of man. That's what's if there's anything to hold on to in all I've learned in my extraordinary wisdom, because he was extraordinary by divine favor upon his life. And 1 Kings 4 tells us, look in 29. 1 Kings 4:29. It says, and God gave Solomon wisdom, an exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Well, automatically when you think of sand along the seashore, you're talking about something that is immeasurable, something that you cannot calculate. And the largeness of his heart speaks of his capacity, that his intellect, his ability to learn, his ability to feel, his ability to see things was immeasurable. You could not measure it. There was no capacity that could be put on a scale to measure what God had gave him to be able to retain and to be able to absorb and to be able to see things that the average man would never be able to see or notice, which gave him an extraordinary ability to be consumed with multiple things at one time, as well as with a person. He could give his attention and affection to a person while still processing everything that he was. He was just an extraordinary guy by favor. Now, this wasn't something that he was born with. This is something that God supernaturally gave him. And that's where we then approach, you know, our Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and we can glean from how he can articulate the relationship of a young maiden who has been taken by Solomon, and then Solomon's attention and affection given to her, and this courtship. And that's what this musical, if we want to call it a musical, a song that has several players in it. It has the Shulamite woman, that's the maiden. Then it has the beloved, that'd be Solomon. Then it has the young virgins, the other maidens that are surrounded by this young maiden. Then it has her brothers involved, her family, and those things. But we see this dialogue going on, and Solomon's articulating these things. But it says this about him. Let's read just a little bit further. In verse 30 says, thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. Not only was there not a man incomparable to him, but you couldn't compile these men and make them comparable to him. The brightest of the brightest, the best of the best, the most educated of the educated, couldn't hold a candle to him, and he was not educated as they were educated.
Right.
God gave it to him. It was just put in him. And then it not only put in him, but then God continued to expand it. Now Solomon took things in the natural beyond what he was supposed to. God had already told him, just because you have all that wisdom doesn't mean you can function in this world without me.
That's right.
Because when you function without me, what happens is you start doing things, even though you're wise, what you're doing is foolish. It's
right.
Folly.
Right.
So we see that no matter what kind of wisdom God gives us to know how to see a thing, to see a thing through, we still need God to walk with us through it.
Right.
And Solomon chose to do things independent of God when God told him, don't take these wives, don't take these things, don't do this. Solomon said that he didn't keep himself from any of that. He just wanted to feel and experience it all so that he could be a help to other people. But see, he had all that already in him.
Yeah.
And you see, that was one of the foolish things that he did.
Right.
But it gives us some insight a little bit further. We're not going to mention all these names. Verse 32, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. Of course, we don't have them all recorded, but we do have a bunch of them in the book of Proverbs. And his songs were 1,005.
Right.
He spoke of trees. He spoke of the cedars of Lebanon, the hyssops that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of the animals and birds and creeping things and of fish. And men of all nations from all the kingdoms of the earth who have heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Come to learn from him. That's where we see the Queen of Sheba comes. Queen of the South comes. And then remember, Jesus reminds us in the New Testament that, yes, Solomon was something. But a greater than Solomon stands before you today in Jesus. No matter how great Solomon was, he can't be compared to Jesus. And that's where we go back to how in the Song of Solomon, that word said, rightly so, all these virgins, all these young maidens are in love with you, Solomon. Well, rightly so, all the chaste virgins of the Lord are in love with him. All those who have been birthed into, you just rightly so. Man, you come across somebody that's just caught up in Jesus, you can't help but say, man, I understand. I know how it goes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Of what he's doing. And so that's really there's so much in it. And we're going to talk a little bit more in the service about it. And of course, over the next several days, it's 8 chapters. It carries the courtship. That's what we see in the first few chapters. Then we see them actually coming together, getting married. And then we see the fruit of that toward the end of the book. So probably over the next week, we'll glean some insight from it. And we as men, what we want to focus on, what we want to glean out of this is just, as you read through it, just pay attention to the perspective of how, where the woman finds her confidence, where she finds her courage from, where she finds her, where she finds her security and her stability, where she finds the way she sees things. And predominantly, even though, this is the thing, even though we're unlike Solomon, we don't have that capacity as he did. Now, we do have Jesus living in us. We got the Spirit in us. That's beyond Solomon. But if Solomon was able to give his attention and focus to this young girl, this maiden, the way that he did, and she be so caught up with him, in spite of the fact that he had 60 and 80 queens and concubines,
right.
But all she could see was that he was in love with her.
That's right.
And that really done something in her. And that's the point for us as men, that our wives really need to know that they have our affection and attention. We don't have to worry about giving them to 100 different people. We can put our attention and affection on our wives, and that helps build them. That's part of God's design, that we do give them that affection and that attention and adoration, as we see Solomon doing, and what a difference it makes in their journey, their spirit, their walk. And we see that through and through. And I think that's one of the big reasons why we have this letter or the song that he wrote, is that it helps us see how women view things and also how men view. Solomon's focus on her was more about her physical attraction to him. Everything he describes is a physical in relationship to her. His attention was on her. He noticed things about her. But she, when she saw him, not only did she see him and was reminded of his fragrance, his smell, and his security and his stability, but she also saw that all that come with him. She refers to his chambers. She refers to his table. She refers to his pillars and the furs and what surround the ambiance of everything. You see, women look at not just how you make them feel and how you focus in on them. When they're looking at us, they're looking at us, not just us from a physical standpoint, but they're looking at what comes with us. What do we provide with that? And all that builds security and stability and safety and all that with them. It just shows you the difference between how men look at things and women. We're different. We see things differently. And all that comes out in this song. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why it's titled that. That of the 1,005 songs he wrote, this is the supreme song. This is the chief of the songs. And so we want to learn from it as we walk through it. Amen? Well, brothers, we're going to have to go out front and keep digging. Amen? Enjoy the fellowship time with y'all. Wish we had more time of it. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you. Father, thank you. Help us. Strengthen us. We need you today. Our church family needs you. We got many that are spread out today. We know that we got folks in all parts of the country. We pray that you touch them, guide them, heal them, lead them, show them your great love toward them, and that they too, wherever they are, will be able to say, rightly so, rightly so. They could see how people are enraptured with you. And we just praise you. Ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all. To God be the glory.